welcome to Off Script with Dan Dwyer on Robin Hood Radio, featuring in-depth interviews with guests from the world of theater and allied arts. Underwriting support from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare collectible and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. And now, here's the host of Off Script, Dan Dwyer.
Well, thanks, Marshall. Today I welcome back to Off Script the playwright, an actor who's cornered the market on dramatic adaptations on literary classics, and largely women's novels at that. My guest is Kate Hamill, who has both written and performed in her adaptations of Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, both, of course, by Jane Austen, Vanity Fair by William Thackeray, and now Little Women by Louisa May Alcott, which is being produced by Primary Stages and can be seen at the Cherry Lane Theater in the West Village through June 29th. Welcome back, Kate.
Hey, Dan. Such a pleasure to be back.
Yeah. I saw the play this week, and it, you know, you're dealing with a different kind of story than you are with the English novels that you've tackled. But I also read in the program for the playbill, you have this wonderful preface in it, and you talk about what the story meant to you growing up. And I know you've in previous interviews that we've had here on Off Script, I think you were a voracious reader. You were reading all the time. So is Little Women one of your favorite books?
You know, I wouldn't say it's one of my current favorite books, although I enjoy it very much. It's something that was very meaningful for me when I was a child. And my experience has actually been that that's pretty common for women. I've talked to so many who have this very deep, meaningful experience with this particular book, that it's kind of a thing that's passed down generationally, that you read when you're younger, and then you kind of set aside. I mean, some people do read it in adulthood, but mostly we read it when we're adolescents, because it is a novel about going through your adolescence. And so when I reread it with an eye towards adapting it, I it was really interesting to have this experience of sort of re-experiencing something which was very precious to me when I was growing up. But it's also quite funny, because you realize if you're rereading the novel that you kind of remember the highlights of it, because it's had, you know, several very famous movie adaptations and TV movie adaptations, but you don't necessarily always remember the novel itself. So going back to the novel itself was interesting.
Right.
And, you know, it is a very different kind of play for me, because it was meaningful in a different way. The novel was, I was writing it for a slightly different audience, and frankly, it's just, I couldn't go quite as absurd as I sometimes do.
Well, you do have a parrot. You do have
yeah,
a parrot.
Well, the parrot is my one sort of nod to my, I do have a man in this production, Mike Crane, who's a lovely actor and does the best parrot anyone's ever seen. I do have a man playing a parrot, but that is sort of more in the line of produced plays that I've had, but Little Women, when I was coming towards it, and it was very, this was the hardest one to adapt I've ever done. And I've done The Odyssey, but this was harder than The Odyssey, to be honest.
Wow.
Which one would not think going into it, but it just took a lot of work. But going into it, I was like, well, it's a very intimate story. It's about growing up. It's about relationships. And if I take too absurdist a lens to it, as I sometimes do, it's going to seem like I'm mocking the book, and I don't want to mock the book, because the book is important to people and important to me, and I think it offers a really an opportunity to show, you know, what happens when people feel like they have to grow up conforming to the expectations of their gender roles and what it means to reject that, which I think is still really relevant.
So is that why you chose to do that now, when there is such a concern or re-emphasis on gender roles and individuality and finding self?
Well, I was really interested in doing Little Women because I was interested in doing a story about, you know, I do think it is a foundational story for American women, and a lot of adaptations of it, if you stick to, you know, what happens in the book, it is automatically quite conservative and quite constricting. Again, people don't remember the book itself that well, but when you read it, it's hard to see it as anything but a bit of a tragedy. These women give up their personalities quite often to marry men. They give up their ambitions. They are constantly squelching.
For those of us who can't remember the book, could you, in a very, very briefly, just describe the personality types? And I don't want to reduce them to types, but the four personalities of the four sisters.
Sure. There's Meg, who is sort of the child who follows all the rules, and she goes and gets married quite young and has children. There's Joe, who's the based on Louisa May Alcott herself, who's the writer, who in the book, not in the play, she, after a period of writing, she eventually gives up her ambitions of writing because she falls in love with a man, and she decides that that's not what she wants to do anymore. That is not what happens in the play. There's Beth, who the daughter who stays at home and tragically dies. And there's Amy, who in the novel, not in the play, is sort of the one who, and she has artistic ambitions. She also gives those up to marry a man. In mine, she's sort of the socialite. She's the one who's good at, she's socially smart. She's good at navigating society, and she's a foil to Joe.
And empathetically a little undeveloped, too, and at certain points in the play. No?
Well, I find Amy to be the foil to Joe, because I think that she's the person who does obey the rules of society and benefits from that. Mm. But I'm interested in exploding all these archetypes a little bit. In My Little Women, Joe does not marry a man, because in My Little Women, Joe is not straight.
In case you're just joining us, the program is Off Script. My guest is Kate Hamill. We're talking about her new adaptation of Little Women, which is the first American novel that she's adapted, and she's also a featured player actor in it at primary stages now through June 29th. Let's get back to Joe. She's not straight. you have her basically. For most of the play, in a men's suit of clothing.
Yeah, I mean, some of that is coming from the Alcott, and Louisa May Alcott herself based Joe on herself. And Louisa May Alcott did not want to write this series. She was sort of asked to write it by her publisher. She was very resistant, but then it became wildly popular. It made her fortune. It made her become the writer we know today. And it was written as a serial, so people were following along as it happened. And they really wanted Joe to marry Lori. And Louisa May Alcott was absolutely, that was not going to happen. She was not going to marry him, her heroine, off to Lori. So she made that, she rejected that. And then she came under pressure because it, even in the 19th century, Joe was giving off a lot of, signals that she was not straight. Mm-hmm. It is my belief, and there, I mean, I'm reaching a little bit, but there is some dramaturgical evidence that Alcott herself was not straight. She famously said, I have a man's soul within a woman's body, and mm-hmm. I've never fallen in love with men, but I've fallen in love with lots of pretty young girls, which seems pretty not straight to me, and that she closeted her main character in order to protect herself, because she never married. She continued to be a writer, but in the novels, she sort of concocted this German professor character in the last 500 pages and marries Joe off to him. So with a little bit of that in mind, although Alcott's sexuality herself is moot, but more thinking of, well, this is a play by virtue of its titles that families will come see, that really young kids will come see, that young people will come see. I thought, I am not going to create a character who is pretty not straight and marry her off to a man and have her give up her career. In 2019, I'm going to create a play where that character decides to embrace her identity and decides to go through the world, you know, trying to figure out who she is when she doesn't have any role models in front of her. So in my version of the play, Joe does become a writer, and that to me is more relevant in 2019. It is changing the end of the novel. I do get some kickback for that, but I figure this is a play that young kids and teenagers will come see, and I want LGBTQ kids to come into a theater and watch a play and go, oh, I can be a hero of even a classic story, that people like me have always existed, and that there is a place for me in, you know, American history as well as in today's society, and that the message is not, hey, you know, the ultimate happy ending for you is heteronormative romantic love. I'd right. way rather see them have them see a show that says, you know what, however, whatever you need and whoever you grew up to be, that's the right thing.
And the way the character is portrayed, Joe, I mean, it's really, I mean, just to put it plainly, it's very tomboyish. You know, she's very tomboyish. Now let's talk about her relationship with Laurie. Laurie is basically the son of a rich neighbor, and do you think? And he wants to marry Joe anyway. So did you intend to imply that he really didn't care if Joe was not romantically or sexually attracted to him? He just wanted to find a life partner.
Well, I actually think there's an argument to be made that, you know, in my play and not in the novel, but Laurie says, Joe is saying, I wish I wasn't a girl. I wish I were a boy. And Laurie says, well, I kind of wish I were a girl. So I think that there's a spectrum there. I'm fine with, you know, maybe Laurie himself is gay. Maybe Laurie is on that spectrum.
Uh-huh.
And that's why he sort of falls for her. Or maybe he's just confused. Or maybe he loves her so much. And I do think they are sort of soulmates, that those feelings get all confused. And he just wants to be with her, you know, no matter where she is on the spectrum. And I think she's, throughout the play, is also figuring out where she is on right. that spectrum.
But he's crestfallen in your play. He's absolutely crestfallen.
He loves her. And I do think it is not at all unusual for people to get into sort of like, especially when they're teenagers, which these characters are, situations where if sexuality is still in flux and orientation is still in flux, mm-hmm. You know, hearts get broken along the way because people get confused. They love each other, but they don't know where those limits are. And while Joe is not straight in mind, she may be bisexual. Mm-hmm. I'm totally open to that, but she's not into Laurie. And she's, you know, she just doesn't feel that way about him. And I think that's heartbreaking for both of them.
Many of the theaters in New York may have an explicit policy of bringing school groups in. MCC has been at it for a long, long time. Have you brought school groups in to primary at Cherry Lane, primary stages to see this?
We have, and you know, student and school groups are always my favorite audiences because they're extremely honest, and because they are unless they've been censored by, you know, school officials coming in, they're very vocal. It's like what Shakespeare's groundlings must have been like back in the day. They cheer, they yell, it's like a rock concert, and they just have such a visceral personal experience with this play. They love it. And we did a student matinee in which the whole play, two girls sat in the front row and they were holding hands. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, this is why I did this. You know, I wrote this play so that adults can come to it too and see, you know, their issues reflected, but also so that young people can come and see themselves reflected. And that's also was very much, you know, yeah, that's why I did
for these that. Kinds of plays. Race-blind casting is perfectly normal and, mm-hmm. you know, relevant and applicable and part of theater these days. But did you make an explicit decision to cast Joe as with an African-American?
We did. You know, well, Crystal Lloyd, who plays Joe in this production, also is just wonderful and came into the room and was the best Joe we saw and is just lovely and brings so much to it. So it was the right person for the role. And we saw people, you know, of all races. We saw people who self-identify as non-binary. We mm-hmm. saw cisgendered women. We saw people from all spectrum, all across the spectrum, and we were open to anything. But we were all, it is in the script that this cast, that this play must not, that this play must be cast in an inclusive fashion.
Right.
That you cannot cast it with just in this very dramaturgically rigid way as, you know,
like you were doing the movie.
Yeah. Like we're doing the movie, because for me, if this is a play about American women, it is so important for me that it reflects American women today, and especially given the challenges that women of color and non-binary people of color face in this country. It was so important to me to highlight that. It also, you know, in 2018, this play had its world premiere at the Jungle Theater in Minneapolis. Sarah Rasmussen, the artistic director there, commissioned this piece, which is why it exists, and I'm so grateful to her. When we did it in Minneapolis in 2018, I started this. I had this personal pledge to myself, which is, you know, I identify as a feminist playwright, an explicitly feminist playwright, and I believe, as so many other people do, that if my feminism is not inclusive, then it is just not feminism at all. It is nonsense. So in 2018, I pledged to myself, okay, I'm involved in the casting of two world premieres. Those were Mansfield Park and Little Women. And I am going to cast these two lead roles as women of color, because I think it's incredibly important to carve out a road for women of color to be the leads in these classic stories. So that's what I did in both Minneapolis with Little Women and Chicago with Mansfield Park. And it's just been, I think it brings so much more resonance to the story, but it also just opens things up.
Well, also in the case of Little Women, it's an oblique reference to the fact that the Civil War is going on, and that was largely about slavery.
Yeah, what I didn't want to write is write a play that's all about, oh, poor white girls during the Civil War. You know, I think people were suffering in a much more visceral fashion. And as we've talked about before, too, I'm someone who very much embraces, you know, plays don't have to be dramaturgically rigid. They're not film. They don't have to be completely realistic. And the framing device of this play is Jo as a playwright creating her own world. So in a way, the actors in the play, I'm very much embracing, hey, we're actors in a room. We're telling you this story, but it's not completely realistic. And thus, you know, race is... It need not be dramaturgically rigid, and in fact can be used to illuminate the story.
You mentioned that this was the hardest thing you did, even harder than adapting The Odyssey. why? I guess why? Why harder than everything else you've done? I mean,
well,
because Little Women, if you look at it, is kind of more obvious a story and more, you know, A to B to C to D than just about anything else. You know, it doesn't segue into, you know, social satire like Jane Austen can or Thackeray does, or gets into all of this, you know, class system and all of that kind of stuff. It's a pretty straightforward story about white girls growing up during the Civil War in Boston. What's wrong with you?
Well, actually, if you reread the book, because she wrote it as a serial, it does not have an arc.
Yeah.
It's got a bunch of little tiny adventures, and they kind of eventually get somewhere, but there's only one really big event in the whole book that has anything approaching a climax that goes throughout all these adventures, really, and that is Beth's sickness and death. But everything else is just sort of these, you know, like tableaus. So to create an arc that was divergent from the story but also true to the story, to make it not twee, because the novel itself, if you just put it right on the page, you know, they follow Pilgrim's Progress the whole time. It is quite, oriented that way. It is, some of the language is, it just would be hard. It's hard to make it dramatic because it is, you know, they go, everything's sort of little. Mm-hmm. It's Little Women. So I had to create all these big circumstances while not breaking the sort of fragile spine of what is intimate relationships and making sure it is socially relevant and feminist today, because right, that's why I do these things. It also, while I was writing it and rewriting it, first of all, I wrote the first draft before the election, and I was feeling a little more positive.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, we're going to have a female president, and everything's going to be great. And obviously, that's not how it turned out. So I almost abandoned it for about a month. I almost went, well, I don't want to write Little Women. I don't want to write a story about how it's important for us to maintain connections, even in the face of strife, and remain in conversation with people who are different than us.
Yep.
Because frankly, at that point, I didn't want to, and I had to get back to that place because I do think it is important. And this play is set against the backdrop of the Civil War.
Yep.
And it is about conflicts within a family. So that connects. And then when I was in the workshop for it, at the Playwright Center in Minneapolis, which is an amazing place to workshop a play, I had a dear close family member who was very, very ill. And so, I'm just not naming them out of...
that's fine.
Yeah. ...privacy. But it was a close family member, and I think plays only work if you're putting yourself into them.
Yeah.
So the framing device of this play is Beth asking Jo to tell her a story about herself. And that is based on, I was sitting with my ill family member they were very, very ill. They thought they were dying. The family, we certainly thought that they were dying. The doctors told us to prepare ourselves. And that family member, under the influence of a lot of medication, said, tell me a story.
Oh,
and
wow.
Said, what kind of story? And they said, about myself. So I told them a story of their own life, and that worked its way into the play. But it was, and I, as a sort of tribute to them, and while that, and then they recovered. So it's been miraculous, but at the time it was very painful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was so much, it was overlapping a lot into my own life, that this was an attempt, just as Joe writes this play within a play as an attempt to keep her sister alive, I was doing this in an attempt to, you know, keep my family member alive. Yes. In memory.
We've got time just for one brief question.
Yeah, of course.
Hello? Yeah?
Yeah, oh, I'm here.
You compare, in the preface, you compare Little Women to Our Town. Arguably, one could make the case, the best American play of the 20th century. what do they have in common?
Well, I think they're both a kind of memory play. And I think they're deceptively, the idea is that they're deceptively small and about small things that happen in our life, but that how that adds up to the value of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was working on this, I felt very much like, you know, Our Town is about these little moments that we think are a bit of throwaways or not the most important.
But they mean a lot.
And they make up the fabric of
our
lives.
The fabric of the day. Thank you, Kate, for coming on. I'm particularly taken by how personal you were about what the pain that went into to writing this, making this adaptation, and how it's worked out so successfully. Thanks again for coming on. It's always nice to have you.
Pleasure. Always happy to come.
And thanks for listening, everyone. My guest today has been Kate Hamill. She's a feminist playwright whose adaptation, a very different adaptation of Little Women by Louisa May Alcott, is down at Primary Stages at the Cherry Lane Theater in the West Village through June 29th. Until you join us next time on Off Script, as a dear departed friend of mine used to say, be well.
Underwriting support for Off Script with Dan Dwyer from John and Kate Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare, collectible, and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. Off Script with Dan Dwyer is also available via podcast on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, and then click on Off Script with Dan Dwyer.